All right, this is Jackie Jones here at InYourHeadOnline.com for the very first episode of In Your Head Throwback. People are asking, Jack, what is In Your Head Throwback? I don't understand. Well, my friends, if you're a longtime listener, you may remember when we started in 2005. But then again, you might not, because you might be a new listener, and you might not realize that we've been around for 6 years. You might think, man, in 6 years, these guys should have got a lot better. Or maybe you think, these guys could never get any better. Maybe you think we've lost a lot. I don't know. But anyway, re-listen to this classic edition of In Your Head for the first time, or maybe for the second time, or the third time. Or I could keep going, but you get the idea. It could be the 100th time. It could be the last time. But this one is from July 14th. 2005. It was actually suggested to me, recommended for the very first episode of this by the massive one himself, Derek Doiner Reed. Sorry if I said your whole name. Maybe you don't like that. But I don't care. He's the massive one. He's Doiner. I know he's cool with it. Check him out on Facebook. Adam is a friend. And if anybody out there, you have an edition you'd like to hear on the podcast, you know, send it to me. Make an older one. Don't say, like, I want to hear the one from last week. Because you can just go to InYourHeadOnline.com and listen to it right off there. It's going to be good times, people. And you got to remember, this is 2005, so the audio's probably not perfect. This is before the days of podcast. All these different sites that, you know, helped us along to make things easier. So, get us a little slack, and hope you have a good time. This is some significance, some historic significance here in the Headyverse on this episode. Because this, not only is Ox Baker is a really cool guy, the massive hard punch, a legend of wrestling, the guy I've met a few times, but this went on to win the first ever Heady Awards. This is kind of why we created the Headies, and it was voted the favorite interview of that year, 2005, among In Your Head fans across the internet. And for a lot of people who know about the Headies, it's our annual award, and we give out awards to our different fans and callers and the guests. And if you've seen the trophy, which is it's actually a golden Ox Baker. It's the likeness of Ox Baker and, of course, pure 24-karat gold. But another thing is, this was the very first show that I set up with Greg Price. And, we played the Fan Fest, and he set up a guest for us. And it's been a 6-year relationship, and I believe it'll keep going in the future. Yeah, he sets up with many great guests, and if you go to the Fan Fest, you'll know the ever-growing In Your Head fan base that come to it, so hopefully we help out the Fan Fest as well. So sit back, check it out, listen to me, the one-inch biceps, and Barbie Richards as we interview Ox Baker, and then follow it up with, I'm not exactly sure what we talked about in the post-show, because it's 2005, but then again, also remember, when you listen to these post-shows here on the archive, on the throwback editions, that all the news is from 2005. I'm sure that is self-explanatory, but, you know, if you're listening to, we're talking about Dean Malenko winning the title, or, you know, whatnot, don't think that that's happening in present day. This was present day at the time, which is now in the past. So, enjoy. Oh, man!
Andre the Giant. Andre was big, yeah, 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 it was not small, no, no, no. Andre could, and he could fight, drink, 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 fight, fight, fight. Andre was big, yeah, 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 it was not small, no, no, no. Andre could drink, and he could fight, drink, 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 fight, fight, fight. Andre the Giant. Andre was big. Yeah, 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 it was not small, no, no, no. Andre was great, he was not bad, a great big heart and a great big man. Andre was great, yeah, 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 it was not small, no, no, no. Andre could fight, and he could fight, great, great, fight, fight, fight. Andre the Giant.
From Grenoble, France.
All right, and welcome to the show, the legendary Ox Baker. Welcome to In Your Head.
Good afternoon, sir.
Good afternoon. And we can see you August 19th to the 21st at the NWA Wrestling Legends Fan Fest in Charlotte, North Carolina. And for more information, you can check out NWALegends.com. Is this going to be your first year at the Fan Fest?
Well, yes. You know, it's very funny in wrestling. Every time they want a great crowd, they call loudmouth Ox Basin and said, Ox, could you make it this year? We want to sell out. We want people to come from everywhere. And the one person that they asked about, they don't care who the stars are, they said, when is the fantastic Ox Baker, the loudmouth of wrestling, when is he going to be there? We want to come and see him. We don't care about the other guys, just so we can catch a glimpse of the fantastic Ox Baker.
Dusty Rhodes who? We want Ox Baker.
Well, you see, Dusty Rhodes for years, he said, Ox, I hate to be known as the second best talker in all of wrestling, but since you're there, Ox, I have to take the number two slot. And I said, well, that's very humble of you. I said, I have to be number one. I always have been, and with the lack of talent that they really have for talking, I will always be number one.
So you think this year we'll do better than last year?
What do you mean, brother? I'm telling you, with me being there, it's almost a written guarantee. I hope the crowd don't triple, by the way. I know we'll double without a shallow doubt, but you think it would triple where they'd have to wait in line? Because I'd give Gary Price a very... I said, Gary Price, tell everybody to bring their Polaroid camera because they don't want to go through life without having a picture of the fantastic... I mean, they can have these other guys' picture or anything, but to get a picture of Ox Baker, it's like I tell them, I'm worth waiting for.
Oh, I gotta agree. They got some big names here. They got Harley Race. They got.
I know they got big names here. And the idea is, I'm almost embarrassed to say that I have to be number one there. I know these other guys will try their best to climb all over each other. And the fact that I've heard a couple of them.
I'm gonna call up and get my computer fixed. I just lost all sound again.
Okay, you can call me back then. You can call me back.
You guys, I can't hear anybody, so you guys will have to talk to Ox.
Yeah.
And
he's just going to keep talking.
I really feel bad about this guy. Sorry.
We're going to see.
That's what you get for buying a computer on sale, you know what I mean? It's about having all these other guys and not having Ox Baker. You know, his lousy computer is down. The bank does that to me all the time. Every time I go to cash one of my $2 checks, they say the computer is down, so I have to wait in line like everybody else.
Okay. We'll see what we can do about sending you back in a bit.
Hi, this is Jack again.
Yeah, this is the computer man.
Yeah, this is the computer man. Sorry, I'm really sorry about that. I know.
Well, we've just broken the longest record for an interview ever on radio, by the way. We're 49 minutes and counting, and we haven't even got to the first question. It has to be a record.
I did get the computer on sale, by the way. Now I know why it was on sale.
They could have gave it to you for nothing, you still got cheated. But go ahead. Where were we at, anyway?
Oh, we just talked about the Fan Fest.
Okay, that was very good. You're going to have questions for me.
Right.
And I may be wrong, but I think that perhaps you were talking about how awesome you are.
How what?
How fantastic awesome you are.
Oh, yeah. Well, I can't really come out and say how great I am because I'm sort of backward and shy, but I just give examples of what happened. I remember as I was laying here, one time I was on a radio show, and I happened to mention that I like peanut butter cookies. The fans sent me 125 dozen of peanut butter cookies.
Oh, man.
And just last week I was telling guys I switched over. Now I like pancakes. A guy bought 100 pounds of cranberries and made cranberry pancakes, and I've been crunching on them for a whole week. So I've got to watch what I say to the fans, because they love me so much. You know, one time years ago, I mentioned that the airport that had ruined one of my bags. Fans sent me 42 new bags. I had to stop. I don't need any more bags. Stop the pancakes. I don't want any more cookies. But, you know, when the fans love you, like, the fans realized that I liked him, you know what I mean? Like, I had these women down in Kentucky. They chew tobacco. I chewed tobacco for about 5 minutes, and I regurgitated for about 10 minutes. I had to stop chewing tobacco. But they chewed tobacco and spit at me, and I loved every minute. I've always loved my fans. That's the reason I've lasted. You know, I started in 1964. Here it is, 204, I forget now. 40 years. The fans always realized that Oxford, you know, a lot of the wrestlers didn't like the fans. They thought they were stupid, you know. They couldn't count up to five, even if they started at three, you know. But I always loved my fans. That was the reason, the secret of my success.
Cool. I just wanted all my fans to know I love money.
You love what?
I love cash.
A lot of guys do that, you know. I have a couple friends, we call them muggers. You know, they say they don't have to worry about small change because everybody has some small change. And so when they mug them, they just take the small change, you know.
You talked about the women. Did the women like the mustache and the eyebrows?
Well, what happened was, unfortunately, I was born with the most gorgeous eyes that a human being ever had. So I had to grow the mustache and the eyebrow so that people would be terrified of me. And then I always had that loud voice. And even today when I say, sit down, woman, in the third row, they sit down, even if they're standing, you know. But fans have always loved me, and I've always had that loud voice. And, you know, you hear Gary Price at Oz, we need to, I said, you're going to fill this place up. And like I was telling about the Polaroid camera, please take the, if you never had another shot of it, you got to get a Polaroid picture of the fantastic Ox Baker.
So if they come and see you at the Fan Fest, you don't mind signing
autographs? Did you mention the dates on that Fan Fest? I didn't hear you mention the dates on that. Did you mention the dates?
It's August 19th, the 20th, and the 21st. Friday.
That's what I wrote down. I wanted to make sure because a lot of fans, unless you tell them five or six times, you know, because some of them are listening, they don't have their hearing aids on, and they never hear their dates. But they all want to show up now, and I know Gary have a big smile on his face because he said, Ox, is there any way that you can get me a sellout? I said, well, if you find a radio station where the computer is working, we might be able to do that, you know.
Oh, man.
You can find all
the you got the computer on sale, right?
Oh, it's working now.
Oh, very good. Any more questions?
Oh, yeah.
Go ahead.
How does it feel to be known as the ugliest wrestler?
Well, the idea, they often said that I had a face that wore out two bodies, and it is true, and I'm the first time in history that when I was born, they actually spanked my mother, you know. But when you're a legend in your own mind, things like that happen, you know, and I've always been aware of it.
Do you ever feel bad about never having a world title?
See, that is a trivial question. Ox Baker actually won 3 world titles.
Oh, really?
And I have handkerchiefs that I have trivial. That's one of the trivial questions. What is the first world title that Ox Baker ever won?
What was the first?
Well, you have to get one of the handkerchiefs to find out, you know what I mean? They'll be there to show, you know. It's like, who was Fritz Von Erich, what was his name of his oldest son he ever had, you know?
You ever wrestled Von Erichs?
I wrestled, I was one of the first guys to knock them all out, you know. Kevin never learned how to wrestle, he kept hitting me below the waist. So I knocked him out, and I told his dad, you got to teach these kids. That was he wouldn't teach the kids how to wrestle. In the old days, you had to learn how to wrestle. But Fritz was a great wrestler, but his kids were just mediocre.
Yeah. Do you have any weird stories about any of the Fritz Von Erich's kids?
The idea was, it was often funny. It was like when I first met the Road Warriors, you know, everybody in the world always wanted to meet the Road Warriors, probably the greatest tag team of all time.
Right.
I came in the dressing room, and the Road Warriors would never talk to them, but they jumped up, and again, they had their Polaroid cameras with them. They had to have a Polaroid picture of me and the Road Warriors, and I was very pleased about that, because they was actually I thought they was the toughest, roughest tag team of all time.
Mm-hmm.
Now, a lot of guys would question that. They'd say, well, the Anderson brothers, but you couldn't tell who the Anderson brothers was. There was supposed to be 4 of them, you know.
Right.
Well, I talked to the mother. She only had 1 child, so I don't know how they came up with 4 of them. But, you know, it was like my grandmother, she had 3 children, 1 of each. So we never realized there's only 1 Anderson brother, but there turned out to be 4 of them.
Oh,
can you figure that out?
I can't figure it out.
Well, but I got to tell you about Ole. He's the first guy in the history of wrestling. He fired me twice. He said, Ox, I fired you the first time because I thought you was a lousy wrestler. and I fired you a second time because I realized you weren't a lousy wrestler. But he's a very good friend of mine. Ole Anderson will tell you straight like what is, and I've always loved him for that.
That's good. Do you have a question, Bob?
Do you think you are a lousy worker, or, you know, is your strength in talking, or how did you
Well, the idea was, if you would turn a TV show on today, because there's only one going to WWE,
mm-hmm.
In the 2 hours that they have it on, they have 11 minutes of wrestling, and the rest of the time is talking, commercializing. So you have to see. I have a wrestling school here in Danderson, Connecticut, and I teach the guy not wrestling, though. Sometimes teach me how to jump off the back of the top rope. I said I was 320 pounds. You think I could even climb up the top rope? But I do teach you how to wrestle on that tube because you know you have to learn. People are going to ask you questions, you know. And so you got to be able to talk. And I try to teach you not only wrestling, though. Half of my, I have a school for 2 years. Half of the year, the 2 years, I teach them how to talk on the TV. And I'm very happy to have taught a couple guys in wrestling how to actually talk. And they come back to me and they said, thank you very much, Ox. You know, you didn't teach me any wrestling, though, because you didn't know any, but you sure did teach me how to talk.
Now, you mentioned the WWE. Did you ever do any business with them in the past?
Well, it so happened is one of the legends I had, me and Superstar Billy Graham were actually the World Tag Team Champions down in Florida, and they had this new guy come around, Terry Boucher. He wanted to see, he said he was 345 pounds. He was knocking people down on the beach. So he said, well, come to Pensacola, step in the ring and see what you can do. And we actually have taped him crawling around on his knees and said, Ox, don't hit me again. Don't kick me again, please. You're better than I am. I said, well, that's all right. But when he got to the WWE, Vince made him the world champion, Hulk Hogan, he said, whatever you do, don't ever get that Ox Baker in here because I'm afraid that he'll knock me down with that heart punch again. So it's all right to get Billy Graham because Billy Graham always rested on Ox Baker's shoulder. Because I had the world-famous heart punch, you know, and then that got me along for 40 years.
Who invented the heart punch? Were you using it first or Stasiak?
No, Stan Stasiak invented it, and it so happened that one night a promoter came up to me and said, Ox, we just put Alberto Perez in the hospital. He said you hit him with a punch, and he's in there, you know, and he rolled over in bed and died. So a lot of people thought that I invented the heart punch, but I don't take credit for that. It was invented by Stan Stasiak. In fact, when he died a few years ago, in all the magazines, and like I wrote the first cookbook in the history of wrestling called The Fallen Warriors, and I said that now there's no longer a heart punch, there's a hurt punch, Ox Baker's hurt punch, and I've been waiting to find some wrestler that's qualified to use the hurt punch, and so far, even though I've got four guys in the WWE that I helped train and to help interview, that I've never let anybody use my hurt punch.
What four guys are those that's currently in the WWE?
I know you asked that. Okay, you mentioned the Von Erichs. This guy came up to me. His name was Mean Mark McAllister. He said, if you keep knocking these Von Erichs out, and the other guy who wrestled is your dad. He said, I want to go to the WWE. Could you show me how you... I said, do you know how to take people off your feet? Because I was a great amateur wrestler. And I showed him how to take him off his feet. And the other day, he just set a record for the WrestleMania. He was the first guy to, I think it was 17 straight matches he won in WrestleMania. And he became the Undertaker.
Undertaker, right.
And then I have a farm in Missouri, and I got this big guy, 6'9". He wanted to go as the Night Stalker, and I took him from day one. I trained him for 5 years. He finally went there.
Is that the Atom Bomb?
That was the Atom Bomb, right?
Yep.
Brian Clark. And one thing, I guess Vince told him, he said, I'd like to bring Ox Baker in. He said, but if I brought him in, all the talkers would have to go find another territory. So we'll leave Ox Baker out of the WWE and let all these guys try to talk and get over with the people. And even though you're the best, Ox, we just can't use you in the WWE. And I want to say, you know, Vince McMahon has actually revolutionized wrestling. You know, that when Bruno was the world champion years and years ago, his biggest year was $280,000. Now the guys are making millions of dollars, you know.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And so if you want to knock Vince one way, the idea he's made more money for everybody, and I hear these guys, well, he only made me a couple of $1 million years, and then he let me go. I said, because you couldn't wrestle him, Dolph. You couldn't talk a lick. You didn't even belong there. He doesn't even want me there. He never even gave me a chance. And so And then that guy come along years later, he had these big muscles, he was kissing his muscles, he said, Ox, could you teach me a couple hoes? I'm going to go there. I said, well, if you let me manage it. He said, well, I'm going to go back there, I'm going to set it on fire. I said, okay, where do you go? He said, well, I go as Papa Pump. I said, well, you got to take me back in to manage because you can't talk a lick. Now, if you check the card right now, Papa Pump is not even on the cards. He didn't take me in as a manager, he didn't make a nickel. You know, you can have all the rats. You got to tell the people you're great. I've never been afraid to say, hey, I'm the world's loudest Russ, but the best talker. And what do you want to hear somebody talk? Or, you know, you can get all these midgets to get out there and wrestle, you know, but none of them can talk.
So that's Brian Clark and...
I believe The Undertaker, before he became The Undertaker, he was using the hard punch as his finisher.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but he broke his wrist doing it, by the way, if you'll check into the record.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah. It's a secret that I have that I found out about it. And But meanwhile, he's done very, very well. I'm very, very proud of him. I am mad that he's never called me or sent me a nice check to say, thanks for showing me how to take goofs off their feet. But that's all right. It's easy to see me one day with a nice Polaroid and forget me the next, you know. Can you imagine 126 dozen of peanut butter cookies? I never tell the fans I love peanut butter cookies anymore because... Now I'm in the pumpkin pie. I'll probably get 50 at the show there, but that's all right. I'll let the fans eat with me, you know.
Better not tell them how much you like elephants.
Elephants?
Yeah, they're mentioning a bunch of elephants.
Elephants? Why would you mention elephants?
He's British.
That's right, yeah. I wanted to buy an elephant one day, but I couldn't find a bed big enough for the two of us, so I didn't get one.
Oh, man, that's a hard one.
From Britain.
So if the fans coming to you at the NWA Legends Fan Fest, you have no problem signing autographs, taking pictures?
I want to do all that, and I tell them when they come there, I know there's going to be a huge line. Just be very patient. I have time for each and one of you. Even if you've got an ugly sister, buck tooth or something, I'll sign an autograph for her, too. I've always loved my fans, you know.
Right. You mentioned...
Because the wrestlers say... See, the fans don't deserve an autograph. I think every fan that comes there deserves an autograph. And since we're going to have this sellout, you know, if I can find a radio station that has a great computer, I know we can sell out, but maybe this one here with this used computer could do very good. But I'm going to call Greg afterwards and say, is there any other TV or radio stations out there that I could get on? Because I want to help the show out, you know?
Yeah, there's a lot of big-name stars there. And, of course, there's a lot of big-name people that's going to be at this fan fest. But,
of course,
Hawks Baker's the biggest.
Who is
it? You, Hawks Baker.
Yeah, well, I don't really say I'm the biggest, but you're right when you say that, you know. Because Greg, he'd be so proud when he sees them people come in by the hundreds, you know, and thousands. But I'll have time for each and every one of them. I don't care, you know.
You mentioned the Road Warriors earlier. Did all the younger guys treat the older wrestlers with respect? Or was that a...
What happened, and I say this today with no modesty whatsoever. You see, the wrestlers today, because they had to do so much more, are actually better athletes than we ever were. But wrestling holds, no way. They didn't. A lot of them today didn't learn wrestling holds, you know. Like Ole Anderson, probably one of the great technicians of wrestling holds.
Right.
And the kids nowadays, they don't know wrestling though. They want to dive over the top rope. The other day, if you remember, a guy moved out of the way. The guy hit his head and killed himself, you know. I never dived over the top rope. I had trouble getting under the bottom rope, let alone diving over the top rope. And they do so many things. And I'll tell you, one of the reasons they do so many things nowadays is... they don't have the talent to carry the crowd, so they want sensationism, right?
Right, yeah.
They saw a table in half, and then they drop a guy on, and the table breaks, you know. That to me is cheap in wrestling, where in the old days, you got heat, or the people worked up by holds, you know. And like I said, I'm the only guy in the history. I could do it today. If you brought your little kid and said, shut that kid up! That kid wouldn't open his mouth for a half hour. Nowadays, the guys you see, they yell at the fans, the fans laugh at it. In my day, Dick the Bruiser would take you in the dressing room and beat you up if a fan ever laughed at you in the ring. And from 64 to 78, nobody ever laughed in the ring. We wasn't there for fun in this. Now they laugh and they sing together, you know. Like I said, I believe that they're better athletes today, but better wrestlers, they're not. And when I go back, like the biggest crowd I ever drew in Puerto Rico was over 14,000 people. They haven't drew a 14,000 crowd since I've been there, right? They drew more money, but they haven't drew people-wise. And if you check all the records, like Bruno Sammartino, for 12 years he sold out Madison Square Garden every time he had a show there. They can't even get a half a house in of course, if they put me on the card as a manager, they could sell out. But Vince ain't going to do that. He doesn't want to get rid of the guys, you know. He had some great managers. They wasn't in my category, of course, but they tried the best they could, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. See, now you guys are just listening. You're not asking. I want these. What do the fans want to know about me?
When did you start managing?
What I did was, it's even like my wrestling school I have now. I quit wrestling in 1989. I had to have both knees replaced because my knees were so bad. And I always give the fans 100, like the on this radio show here, I'm giving you 150%. I'm not going, I'm not grunting, you know.
Right.
I'm giving you the very best that I can give you. And that's the way it was. But when my knees got so bad that I looked like a big crab in the ring, I just said, boys, I got to give it up. So, but the next week, some guy at the docks, you know, I can't talk a lick with your management. I said, all right. When I started my wrestling school, all these kids said, when can I make $1 million? I said, well, I've trained hundreds of you, and no one's made $1 million yet. But Marco Callister did, of course. The ones I named all made $1 million in, you know, the WWE.
Right.
And I just sent a guy there, and I'm training a guy right now. I'm calling him Mr. Sexy. You guys remember Rip Rude?
Oh, yeah.
Hmm? Okay, well, Rip Rude used to kiss a girl in the ring, and it was faint.
The Rude Awakening.
Well, I got Mr. Sexy right now. I want you to tell the whole world. I got Mr. Sexy. He walks by. He just has to touch the girls, and they fall out of their chairs. Right. The other night, I had to stop him. 38 women standing outside the door and said, could we leave our husband for Mr. Sexy? So I'm getting him ready for the WWE, but I'm telling Vince right now, unless I can manage him, unless you bring him in there for one night, because I have a record right now I want to tell you about, and you guys are the first ones that have heard this. Are you listening right now?
No, I'm listening.
I'm going to be the first guy in the history of wrestling that gets inducted into the WWE Hall of Fame and has never been there.
Ah.
Would that be quite an accomplishment?
Well, that would be great.
It would.
Well, yeah, I'm telling you right now, you can write it down. If you can't write, have your friend do it for you, or put it on your, can't put it on your computer because that's not working, but write it down. Ox Baker is going to be the first man to get into the Wrestling Hall of Fame for the WWE and never has been in the WWE.
That's great. Did you teach Mr. Sexy how to make the women faint? Was that something you picked up from you?
No, I was there that way. What I'm doing, and the person and company have already wrote me, I said, what I should do is take the sweat off his body and put in a jar and sell it as perfume, but the perfume industry would go out of business, so I said, I better not do that, you know. But Mr. Sexy, 6'6", great build, 22-inch arms, and he's going to get there sooner or later, whether I manage him or not. Because, again, I might get him there, and Vince said, well, Ox, we just can't use you, you know. But I admire Vince very much, and not that I'm putting him over, but he's made a lot of stars out of guys that shouldn't have been stars, but he did it. Well, he's got it covered, right?
Right.
There's no other promotion. In fact, if you try to run a show, he'll put one of his shows in there, and you won't make it in there. It's hard nowadays. You know, it's funny. I'll tell you what a paradox is. 1964, I was making $15, $18, $30 a night. Well, some of these guys now, they're running these shows against them. That's what they're paying them guys, $25, $30 a
night. Right, this is 40 years later.
It's 40 years later, right? I mean, the WWE's not doing that, but the guys that try to run against Vince, he is powerful. But, you know, I remember one time the Ultimate Warrior said, I either make $1 million or I'll leave you. Vince drew a line through his name and said, you'll never wrestle for me again.
You think
that's power, brother.
Yeah.
You've never seen the Ultimate Warrior again.
Nope.
You know?
You think that's bad for wrestling, that there's only one federation now?
Yeah. Competition is always good, but, you know, it's like the guys that I train now and these guys that run these shows for 30 nights, for $30 a night.
Right.
These guys are still happy. You know what I mean?
Yeah, just to be in the business.
I'm a wrestler. I don't care. You know, like I was training a guy one time, and my wife stopped me, my lovely Peggy Ann, said, "Oh, this guy's got to stop training." I said, "Why are you swelling up?" This guy had very bad kidney trouble. In fact, he's on a machine right now. And he said, "I don't care, Ox. I just wanted to be a wrestler. I don't care if they even pay me." And I remember years ago, I said, "Let me referee. I'll referee for nothing," right?
Mm-hmm.
You want it so bad, you know. And, you know, if this picks you out, you know, you can make it. You know, like this All-American or the guy that won the national title and then he quit him to be a football star.
Brock Lesnar.
You don't see him again. You don't hear him, Brock Lesnar, right?
He's just now coming back. They just announced, I think, last week.
Oh, he just announced he's coming back. Well, I'm surprised at that because Vince very seldom gives you, like, only editors, you only give me two chances. He said, "Ox, you can't be that bad." And when he fired me the second time, he said, "Ox, you proved to me you're that bad." what happened, I tagged the guy in one time, and I fell into the ring instead of stepping in, and he said, "Oh, Lord," he wanted to cut my throat. And I had a lot of time for Ole Anderson, by the way.
Yeah. Do you want to answer
something? So how are we doing there, fellas?
Oh, we're doing great.
Pretty good?
I just wanted to say, I read online that you were on The Price is Right once.
Yes, I was on The Price is Right, and I got to the wheel, and I believe it or not, I got a dime one spin and a nickel the other. probably the lowest score I ever got on the wheel, but I won about $4,000. Bob Barker called me down, and I said, "You know, at this time, Bob Barker, the two best-looking guys in the world are on the stage at the same time." He must be one of the guys in the back. But see, when I started out in wrestling in Joplin, Missouri, he was actually selling stuff there. What was it, Knights of Columbus, or not the Knights? There's another organization. But he remembered me.
Did you pick up any of the Barker's beauties?
No.
So we got some questions from the forums.
Yes, we do.
Yeah, right. Well, the fans, see, at the time, you had to give your real name, and for 25 years, I never gave out. It was always the Big Ox, you know. So if you ever see the show, they say my real name, and I come on down, and I was thrilled to death at it, you know.
Right. Ox Baker, come on down.
It was just like, I got to tell you this story, because it's so beautiful and sad, but Bruiser Brody told me in Chicago, "Ox, I got that part escaped from New York." He said, "I beat you out." He said, "I'm going to go to Puerto Rico this weekend, and I'm going to start the movie." And about 10 days later, John Carpenter called me. He said, "Ox, what are you doing?" I said, "I'm just wrestling here." And he said, "I need you to escape from New York and St. Louis." I said, "Bruiser Brody got the part." He said, "Bruiser Brody got stabbed last night and killed in Puerto Rico."
Oh, man.
I said, "He got stabbed last night, and you're calling me now to do the part?" He said, "Ox, it's show business. It goes on, you know." And I, out of respect for Bruiser Brody, I didn't go see that movie for 10 years, by the way. Remember Bruiser Brody?
Oh, yeah. Did you ever go back to Puerto Rico after that?
They've never invited me back. I don't know the reason. I did very, very well. They did very well with me. At the time, they had a booker called Tom Ernesto, and he loved me to death. He said, "Every time I get into a pinch, I call you, like I said, we do the biggest people-wise that they've ever had in Puerto Rico. But it's never been, I don't know the reason, they've never called me back."
Yeah. So before Hulk Hogan, before The Rock were in the movies, you were in the movies.
Yes, I was. I shouldn't say I was the first, because a guy that started California Alley called Mike McGursky, he was in a couple hundred of them. Woody Strode was in there. But the modern-day wrestler, right?
Mm-hmm.
Ox Baker Escape from New York was the start of it. In fact, as I tried out for Rocky III, and Sylvester Stallone called me and said, "Ox," he said, "I'd have used you, but we had this new guy, you know, Hulk Hogan, who won him," and said, "He beat you out for the part. I said, well, I'm a better wrestler. He said, yeah, but he's a lot better looking, you know. So, but that's it. But the idea, we started it. In fact, you and I just did a movie last year, and I'm thinking about, I've written one myself. So, but I'm still into it at the odd time, and whoever calls me up, I'm always there. It's like Gary, he, like I told you, he wanted to sell out in this show. The 19th, the 20th, the 21st, the 23rd, the 20th, I don't know what the dates are. What are the dates of that?
The 19th, the 20th, and the 21st.
Oh, okay, the 19th, the 21st. He wants to sell out. He said, Ox, can you double the, I said, I'll double the house, right? And tell all them people. I don't care if they got a computer or not, they can take a Polaroid picture with Ox Baker that a couple of days. You can ask all the questions, because I always say, ask me any questions that you wouldn't dare to ask another wrestler. And I've always done that over the years, you know what I mean? I never held anything back, because when you're the greatest talker in wrestling, you got to be able to talk to the fans. And one thing I've always said, I've loved all the fans. I don't care if they're as ugly as I was, what they are, you know, if they belch, whatever they got to do, you know, I love the fans. They're the ones that pay you, you know, I don't care what they say. They're the ones that pay your way in. Nowadays, they got pay-per-view. You know, they get hundreds of dollars, you know, and you got to pay for that pay-per-view. So that's the big thing. We didn't have it in my days. I've probably been a millionaire today. But I loved every man. I loved every, all the guys. A lot of guys that ask, you always say, I never met a man that I didn't like. Promoter, they said, yeah, but some of the promoters and some of the guys talked about you. I said, you know, I never got down to their level. I always stayed at Ox Baker's level. I didn't care what they thought was right or wrong. I always stayed at my. So I never met anybody I didn't like. I liked every. I never met a fan I didn't like. And another thing, I mean, in 40 years, you can check the records, Ox Baker, not one time, though he was Kit, Tuck, I never touched a fan, never hit a fan. I said, the fans, I work them up, so if they get mad and throw something, fine, you know. The only thing I tell about is, I don't mind you hitting me upside the head with a can, but don't hit another fan that's just there to have a good time. Don't spoil somebody else's good time. It's like, we can laugh together, but never laugh at each other, you know. Let's laugh together. We can have a little laugh, but don't laugh at each other, you
Did
know.
Did you always wrestle as a heel? Were you ever a baby?
Well, I didn't want to be a bad guy, but the idea when I'd step out there, you know, the fans would boo me. I don't know what the reason was. You know, I even had guys that were almost as ugly as I was, and they still would boo me. I never understood that, you know. But that was the part I played, and a lot of times I'd have to leave a territory when I got. People love winners. And, you know, like I was 3 years in Indy and Dick the Bruce. You got to leave. The fans are starting to like you, you know. He said, starting to like you more than me. So I would leave, you know what I mean?
Right.
Nowadays, everybody wants the fans. There's got to be bad guys, you know?
Right.
There's been cowboy and Indians for 100,000 years. You know, they run out of Indians, so now it's cowboys and Chinese. You know what I mean? There'll always be a good guy and a bad guy. That's the way life is.
So you go to NWALegends.com, and you can find out how to get tickets there. They've got specials there for the hotel rooms, and there's some specials there for air travel as well.
That's right. And tell him that Ox Baker will be there. Say hello to his fans. But I don't care if you wash your hands or not. If you suck your thumb. I still want to shake your hand and say hello, you know. A lot of English guys still suck their thumb. I don't know what the reason for that is. But,
we'll have to ask Barb about that.
Oh, is that right? Yes. You know, I was always sorry. I heard of this guy for 25. He's called, from England, he's called Big Daddy. You remember Big Daddy?
Yep.
Yes. And see, I met one of the great ones of all time. He did some stuff called Billy Robertson. He was from England, you know, and
right.
Les Thornton. Mm-hmm. All the guys I ever met, one of the great times, I was 6 months in Australia. I always loved the Aussies and the English, you know. They were always gentlemen to me, you know.
Yeah.
I met a lot of good people over the years, in fact, and I enjoyed every minute of, like, some guys, oh, you didn't make the money that the other guys did, you know. And I said, I enjoyed myself more than they did, you know. Because you can have all the money in your world if you're not enjoying yourself. What's the difference, you know what I mean?
Right, exactly. All right, so...
Pardon me?
What was that? You finished your story, sorry.
Yeah, and I just said, it's like Vince, he hasn't asked me in there yet, right?
Mm-hmm.
Not one time I've ever run him down, and I understand he'd have to get rid of all them other guys that think they can talk if he brought me in. So the idea, keep them 20 or 30 guys, you know, and just leave me out of there. But one of these days, in fact, Mr. Sexy, when I finally get him there, oh, God, and he's going to be, he said, Asa, I will not go there unless you manage me. He said, you're the only guy that understands me. And I said, well, the other four guys said that to me, too. But when Vince said he doesn't want you, he doesn't want you. So that's the way life is.
Right. We're going to go to the message board. Some fans sent in some questions for you.
Very good. Let's talk. I love my fans.
All right, Barb.
Bob from Florida wants to know what it was like working with Rusty Brooks and Dr. Red Roberts.
I didn't quite hear that.
Bob from Florida wants to know what it was like working with Rusty Brooks and Dr. Red Roberts.
I think that's Tim.
Rusty Brooks, he started a promotion down in Iowa years ago. You know, and when he was, he hit me a couple of times and knocked me out of the ring. I said, why do you hit that so hard? He said, well, Ox, he said, I'm a promoter. I'm allowed to do that. So I hit him right between the eyes and knocked him down. He said, why'd you do that? I said, well, I'm Ox Baker. I'm allowed to do that.
Nice.
Another question, please.
Bob from Florida also wants to know what it was like training new wrestlers with a guy like Boris Malenko.
Training what?
New wrestlers.
Oh, well, you know, when you get into wrestling, the first time someone yells at you, calls you a name, it's like show business. All these guys are multimillionaires, and you see them still do movies. It's like wrestling. Once you heard the roar of the crowd, once you've been in there and you know that you can tell some guy, knock me on my rear and I want to hear these people yell at the top of their lungs, it's like you're hooked. It's like no other feeling in the world. You feel good inside because you know you did that. You made them people yell. You made them people cheer. And you made them go home, you know, and instead of go home and beat up on their wives, they can just go home and say, I seen Ox Baker get beat again tonight. And I'm going to go again next week because someone else is going to beat him up. So it's just such a thrill. It's unbelievable.
The Flea wants to know how many men you've killed with the dreaded heart punch.
Well, they say there's actually two, you know. But all I know about, I wrestled Ray Gunkel after I wrestled Alberto Perez. He broke my wrist that night, knocked me down about 11 times. He overexerted himself. I'm in the dressing room, and someone said he just dropped over in the dressing room. And 200 people got clubs and get out of here. They escorted me out of town. The promoter run me down about 40 miles down. He said, Ox, I just called up Big Bob of Brazil. He wants to wrestle. We got a sellout. 2,000 tickets already sold. Could you come next week? I said, did people want to kill me? He said, don't worry. I'll get you a couple bodyguards. I said, oh, my, you know. But in reality, I didn't figure I never had a bad time. Because either guy, I really, Alberto, I know I didn't hurt. And I know that Ray Gunkel beat me up pretty bad, and I don't believe that I hurt him either, you know.
Right. Uncle Glenbo wants to know, oh, we already asked this question about the heart punch. You said Stasiak invented it, but you probably perfected it.
Well, what it was, when the first guy died, the promoter just say, what did you do? Would you kill these guys? Well, I threw the heart punch. We'll throw the heart punch tonight. See if we can get number three, you know. And a lot of times when a guy would go down, you know, because I told him two things, in fact, is over the years. Well, like in Puerto Rico, I broke the invader's ribs. Steve Rickard, I broke his son's ribs. And some color fellow, I can't remember. Oh, African-American. You got to say African-American now. You can't say color. But African-American guy, as I threw the punch, it was like St. Earl Thomas. They said, did you say step into it or step away? And the punch had already been thrown, and it broke the ribs.
Oh.
Oh, yeah.
Have you ever had any real serious injuries in the ring?
Believe it or not, because I was, I was a pretty fair amateur wrestler. I could, like, protect myself. And I got a lot of guys in there who was clumsier than I were and tripped over their own feet. And a lot of guys, like Big Ernie Ladd, he hit me hard several times. And like I say, a lot of guys knocked me down with punches. But as far as really getting hurt, I never did, you know.
Right. You think that's the guys will have shorter careers now, taking the so many of those big bumps and the big flips off the ropes and to the outside of the ring? They're not going to be...
Well, I was just at the Barry Orton's house in Las Vegas, and his son was getting operated on his shoulder.
Yeah.
I was just with Shawn Michaels, and he got operated on his back. Stone Cold Steve Austin, who claims to be a second cousin of mine, he's had two neck operations and a back operation. And Ted DiBiase broke his back.
Right.
Well, the first 25 years, I never heard of that happening, right?
Right.
These guys actually did too much, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's like a Mankind, I've heard that his mind is gone, but I talked to him. He's a very, very nice guy.
I heard he has some memory loss. Sometimes even
yeah, some memory loss. But
right.
I talked to him a couple of days. He seemed like he was all right. He said, "Ox, I just had to do that because the fans wanted that, right?"
Right.
Said, well, why are you trying to break six tables? He said, "Well, I heard the record was six, so I wanted to break six." I said, "Is that right?" You know. And I said, "He did have some memory loss, but no, they're trying way too much. Too many of them are getting hurt, and their careers, you know." Stone Cold is not wrestling anymore. Shawn Michaels is not the same. Ted DiBiase, these guys will never wrestle again. You know what I mean? You know what the bottom line? What the bottom line is?
What?
3 weeks ago, they showed a man in a six-man tag. I got in there in a six-man tag at 70 years old.
Right.
70 years old, I was in the ring. Right. Back is all right.
Yeah. It's a lot easier. Growing the big mustache and curling up the eyebrows and learning how to talk than throwing yourself off a cage or off a balcony.
Well, the eyebrows spoke for themselves, you know, because people are, look at these scary movies. Even though, you know, 1,500 people have got cameras, you get scared when it gets real dark outside, you know, and like Freddy with his scissors and knives. People get scared. They were scared. They were scared in the old days.
Right.
When I told people to sit down, they actually sat down. When I tell kids in malls, I did it the other day, my wife gets on me all the time. This kid was yapping. I said to his mother, "Will you shut that kid up? I want to backhand him." She said, "Well, thank you. He sat down for the first time all day." I said, "You should hire me, for crying out loud." In other words, when you still have it, you still have it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Are you guys going to be there at that show?
I'll try. I'd like to make it, but I don't know if I'm up in Massachusetts. It's kind of far away from me.
Oh, yeah. Well, I'm sorry about that because I was going to tell Gary to give you a free autograph picture of me. I can't give you a free Polaroid because he gets most of the money, you know. But I just took a picture with you, I guarantee you.
All right. Well, if I make it down there, I'll take you up on that offer.
All right. And bring an Englishman with you. I like him. You know, I can't understand what he's saying, but I really like the guy.
Oh, that's sweet of you. I like you, too.
They always say, "I got the Queen's English," you know what I mean? The King's English. They call me Matey. I don't know what that is. I keep waiting for them to hug me, you know.
All right, we've got one more question here from the board.
All right, I want to hear it.
Susie, she wants to know where you came up with the name Ox.
Well, what it was, at 14, I went from 5'8". The 6'4", 310 pounds. The teachers couldn't call me dummy or ignorant. So they said, "Well, we call him Ox. He'll never understand that we call him dummy and ignorant." So they said, "Come here, Ox." And when I got into wrestling years ago, they said, "Where would you want to go?" I said, "Well, they've been calling me the Big Ox for 20 years. Why don't I go as the Big Ox?" They said, "You know that means dummy." I said, "I'd never question it. I just know when the people hear Ox Baker's name, they set up because they say, it's like your show. You know that you'll get the best show out of Ox Baker.
Oh, yeah.
You know you got the best talker in the history of Ox. And you know, Gary Price, he'll probably call me later. You know, he won't give me any bonus, but he said, Ox, I know I got a sellout now because I picked the right guy for this radio show. And you guys all agree with that, don't you?"
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
That was the number one guy I picked.
Have you ever had a better interview?
I don't think so.
No.
You never will, I guarantee it. Because I've been the three-night guest and all the best. I've always do the very best I can.
Well, thank you a lot.
Thank you, gentlemen. And get that computer fixed for crying out loud.
Everybody go to NWALegends.com. And thank you, Mr. Baker.
The 19th, the 20th, the 21st, and you get to see Loudmouth Ox Baker. Wow. Thank you, sir.
Thank you a lot. That was great.
My pleasure.
Sorry about the computer problems earlier. Glad you stuck
it. That's all right. When you got a cheap computer, you got a cheap computer. You know what I mean? You have a nice evening.
You too. Goodbye.
And tell them that I like their peanut butter cookies.
Because the Ninja Boy is going to style and profile. And you're going to bleed all night long. Because the Ninja Boy is going to style and profile. And you're going to bleed all night long.
Love baskets, shower, fuck the bubbles, never fumble, not even rarely. Big giant, a little trouble. Imaginary was scary when we stumble. Library card hustle, records we jug for minutes and seconds. But first up for free to burst on the scene. I'm the worst human being, draconian in the symposium of kings. Plutonium I bring with bare hands and spare cans. I won't share lands when I'm owning them, roaming them. MC think they're great, but only them. My plants are cryogenic. A crying cynic does a war dance in front of the clinic. Circumstance gives no second chance when it's finished. An avalanche is the blemish. Broke off a branch of the business. Beef on the ranch. Shouts with no lance. Soft and Lucifer. I need a carrot juicer and a hairnet. A Luger with a bayonet. Cable line so I can stay on the net. Black jack pay on the bet. If you was me, you could say you the best.
Because the Ninja Boy is gonna style and profile. You're gonna bleed all night long.
To be the man, you gotta beat the man. You can't beat the man, so who's the man? I am. The U.S. is treating the land. No access to terror, just elections for mirrors. For Bush, the next terror. His power will not go on further. Four more years, I'd rather be gored by spears. I voted for Al Gore, you hear? New campaign, duck for president. From Havana, Champagne. I'm not a leftist, I'm an anarchist with a brain. Diversity, life, rotundo, I'm gung-ho. For diversity of those who got dough. And peace overthrow. The youth, they keep what they know. Bad habits and emotions. Kids can't add it or divide by the quotient.
Because the Ninja Boy is gonna style and profile. You're gonna bleed all night long.
Get gas to take names. Republicans take grab for financial gain. Trying to start war from Australia to Spain. Expect the draft. What are you fucking daft? Learn to adapt. Get a gat. Check the stats on the graph. Population rise and fall. A nation divided because it's misguided by law. We are provided a job. United in slimes. Drunk and disorderly. More concerned about slam dunks than the economy. Mental patients in the U.S. is our asylum. It's all about products and how you dumb fuckers buy them.
Pop is Tokyo, and Duckman is Godzilla. So fuck all y'all, motherfuckers.
Because the Ninja Boy is gonna style and profile. You're gonna bleed all night long. Woo! Because the Ninja Boy is gonna style and profile. And you're gonna bleed all night long.
That was quite the interview with Ox Baker.
The legendary.
Legendary.
Fantastic.
Ox
the really, really furry Ox Baker.
You can, really, seriously, go check out NWAFanFest.com. It's going to be a great show, I think.
Oh, yeah.
So there's going to be a lot of guys, get all the autographs.
You can have breakfast with Bret Hart if you win.
Yeah, you win breakfast with Bret Hart. You can win autographed Dusty Rhodes tights.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
and they've got specials up there for the for your hotel rooms and even for your flights there.
You're going to get it spotted. I mean, you could check out NWAFanFest.com, but you'd have better look checking out NWALegends.com.
Aha.
Yes.
Sorry about that.
Gosh.
You should be. Making us hang up amongst Baker three times.
NWALegends.com. For the NWA Wrestling Legends Fan Fest. You can also check out the website if you go to our website, which is in your head.
www.inyourheadonline.com.
There you go, Barb.
Mm-hmm.
Or you can email me personally at barbyrichards@gmail.com.
Or if you want to email the host, you can do it at jackiesbackbrother@hotmail.com.
You can edit that one out, Andrew.
Or you can email 1inchbiceps@gmail.com.
Right. So, Mandy, if you're listening, there you go.
Oh.
Whoever that dude is that keeps sending me porn, awesome stuff. Keep it coming. You're my first fan mail. Casino Man did not deliver, therefore he's never coming back on the show.
Casino Man is fired from the show.
Oh, yeah.
Well, why did we fire Casino Man?
You really need a reason.
Yeah, I need a reason.
He promised me fan mail over and over again, and he never sent it.
He didn't put out for Barbie.
No fan mail, so you're fired.
Right.
His pet trained hand.
Can we keep that as our critic?
I think so. We can.
We'll keep his hand.
So we did have. We wouldn't.
But what if he does go and see those movies? Will we have him?
Oh, then we'll hire him back. But we're gonna have to cut his pay.
Until then.
Instead of coming on the show for free, he's gonna have to start paying us.
Yeah. Money.
That's what we should do. Make some money for the show. Maybe once to come on, just send me some cash, and we'll have you on the show.
Oh, yeah.
No, we need to set up a PayPal account where all of us can pick out of it.
This will be the new contest. Whoever sends me the most money wins.
No.
Pitching.
We'll have to work this out off the air.
Get in the Ring had the co-host, they get to be guest co-host.
Mm-hmm.
I remember they had the Jesus show with Neil, and it was, totally awesome.
Overrated.
And, it was you had to pre-order the book. And, they picked it out of a hat, the winner. I'm just thinking, just send me money, and, whoever sends the most will win.
Let me tell you what I've heard about that Neil dude. This is strictly on the grapevine stuff. I heard he smells like a running bull.
No, I actually think he's a real cool guy. He's our main sponsor for this show. The show wouldn't be possible without Neil. So we really can't, badmouth the guy.
It's just what I heard. It's just what people tell me.
Whenever anybody's, really over, they're really popular. Like Hulk Hogan, everybody's going to badmouth him. It's going to be the same with Neil. The guy's just, a really good guy. So, there's going to be people out there that's going to badmouth.
Well, I can't tell you my sources. Let's call him... Let's call him 1 inch B. That's a bit secret. How about O biceps?
Oh, okay. We can't believe that guy. But see, if someone in West Virginia tells you that someone smells...
Well, that's a compliment, I think.
Exactly.
How does this always turn around?
Boy, you smell like a wet donkey.
You always twist and turn it, so I'm the guy who's the idiot.
So what's going
on? I'm not the idiot.
You're not the idiot, man. You're our idiot. Huh. You're my idiot, Incher. You'll always be mine, man.
I don't know if that's good or not.
So what was going down in wrestling?
Oh, he doesn't know what he thinks about that.
What's been going down in wrestling this week?
Right. I think there was something you really wanted to talk about, Incher.
Well, one of the most shocking things happened on the Raw this week.
Mm-hmm.
It had to deal with the Kane and Lita angle.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And that is, Gene Snitsky has a foot fetish.
Oh, my God.
I never would have believed it.
Now, was he just going to take a big bite right out of her foot?
It looked like he was just about to eat it like a Whopper or something. And then,
five for five.
I just love how they make Gene Snitsky the most disgusting person in the world. He just must not really care. I don't know.
Well, it goes back to the thing, if the guys really go by their own personality, only, heighten it, Steve Austin. And you just kind of see Gene Snitsky, and you think, man, that's a disgusting man.
So, Vince must have saw him, checking out some girl's feet one day, and he's like, you have a foot fetish, don't you?
Maybe he saw him eat them.
We need to put that on camera.
Jerry Rollo looks pretty disgusting.
You have to admit that WWE does like to humiliate their talent.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Jerry Lawler looked disgusted. About the foot fetish?
Well, there's discussion about something sexual. You know, it's pretty bad.
Yeah, that's...
Well, I think he was pretty pissed off that Gene didn't actually get the chew on the foot.
Oh.
What are you awing about?
Oh.
Harry Lauder has a well-documented foot fetish.
Yeah, but I think that's only for people under the age of 20.
Months?
I hear he has, like, some videos of, like, these girls pouring Coke all over their feet. And that really, he loves that.
He's a big fan of the Coca-Cola.
He called up a party once at his house because somebody stuck a Pepsi can in his Coca-Cola display.
Oh, man.
Oh, my God.
They were having a big cookout, and he found a Pepsi can in his Coca-Cola display. And
right.
He just sent everybody home.
NWALegends.com.
NWALegends.com.
Yeah, we're really
not going to find any Pepsi can in your Coke displays.
But we did see the return of Matt Hardy.
Yep. Not that you'll find any Coke.
I thought
I don't know if the Rock and Roll Express are on the card, but there's not going to be any Coke.
No Coke. What about Matt?
Matt Hardy returned on Raw this week.
Mm-hmm.
I thought Raw was pretty good, actually. There's a lot of big names on Raw. You had Piper and Matt Hardy. I really like the Matt Hardy angle. I know people are going to say he's like screwing over the fans. He's working the fans.
Yep.
But it made for interesting TV.
Oh, yeah.
And you can't blame the guy for taking his job back to WWE. It might have gave him, you know, a big raise. And this might be his only chance for a big push.
They might not have given him a job. They might have put him on a contract with a decent pay. He just turns up to further his deal and whatnot. Who knows?
Right.
So do you think they're trying to do the smoking gun gimmick in 2005?
I think you mean
Loose
Cannon.
Yeah, there we go.
Loose Cannon? Sort of.
That's what you get. That's what you get with a host that doesn't watch wrestling. He doesn't know what the hell he's talking about.
I wasn't sure Matt Hardy was turning into a cowboy.
I think any of our fans might know that.
Ooh, the smoking gun. I'm the smoking gun.
The return of the smoking gun. It's Billy and Bart gun.
Was that really a tag team?
Yeah, it's smoking gun. Billy and Bart.
God damn, I just need to quit. Okay, go on.
I really did enjoy that. I liked both parts. The first part where you really weren't sure it was him.
So is this the return of the smoking gun?
And then
or the
loose
cannon?
I just thought it was weird that he said he mentioned Ring of Honor.
Yeah.
But he did mention TNA.
Well, I think Vince would probably say, I don't want TNA.
Yeah.
When Paul Heyman said it on Bite This, they bleeped him out.
Really?
Oh, my God.
It's funny because they always say
swearing.
They don't consider TNA competition.
No, they don't want to advertise.
Well, seems a little odd to me.
Yeah.
And we also saw the return of Piper, who I thought was excellent on the show.
Looks like he's lost some hair or something.
He's in his 50s.
I mean, you know.
You want to talk.
I know about the hair loss. And if he, you know, emails me or something and gives me his home phone number, I can tell him what to do about that.
But a lot of times Piper will show up, like in TNA, and he'll ramble and not make any sense. And to me, it's kind of sad. He's one of my personal all-time favorites. It's Roddy Piper.
It doesn't seem like he had any direction in TNA. They just want to go out and talk.
Yeah, I think that's the problem. If they give him something to say, the guy can still talk.
Not so much like a script. But
just points.
Yeah, I think Piper's great. I called him being there about 45 seconds before his music hit. Pretty good.
Yeah, that was a good angle because they had the two guys who have the shows now.
Mm-hmm.
And one's, I wouldn't really call him the last generation, you know, Jericho, but then you have a new guy, the up-and-coming guy, Carlito, and then they brought out the original, Piper. That was really well done. I noticed they're really talking a lot about Jericho's love handles. I wonder if that's kind of like a hint to him to lose some weight.
He's been getting in decent shape the past few years.
Yeah,
I think
he was fine. But I noticed there was a lot of mention about his love handles on the show this week.
Damn shame.
I don't know. I can't really comment on Chris Jericho and his love handles.
And she doesn't know what he thinks about that.
I'm glad Michaels is a bad guy. I think Michaels is a better bad guy. To me, he's just a natural heel.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
although he doesn't seem to have any kind of direction at the minute.
No, there was really no reason given to why he super-kicked Hogan.
Yeah. Although he did super-kick Piper when Piper said it because he was a coward, which has something to it.
Right.
Well, they don't really want Shawn Michaels to go out there and be, you know, I'm actually scared of Hulk Hogan and whatnot.
Yeah.
You really want Shawn Michaels to be going out and saying, don't like the blood.
I know the Wrestling News Live guys disagreed with us, which you can listen to their show on InYourHeadOnline.com. We did an interview with them. You can also listen to their show on AudioWrestling.com. But,
www.WrestlingNewsLive.com.
Exactly. But they disagreed with me that a Michaels-Hogan match is going to be good. But I think it's going to be good. Because that's the kind of guy Hogan should wrestle, someone who can take a lot of bumps for him.
Mm-hmm.
And make him look good.
Yeah.
You put me in where Hogan day, really doesn't have to take a lot of bumps for.
Yes. Exactly. A lot of Shawn's moves aren't exactly, you know, big high-risk bumps.
No.
He takes them himself, but mostly it's like flying forearms and, you know.
It won't be a Michaels angle match, but it'll be more in the lines of like a Hogan versus Macho Man match or a Hogan versus Ric Flair match.
Yeah. I think it'd be quite close to a Hogan Flair encounter.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that's going to be a what, SummerSlam? SummerSlam's looking to be a pretty good show.
Yeah.
Yes, it is.
Well, is the other match already announced on it? I think
John Cena versus Christian.
Yeah, that should be a good match.
Uh-huh. I mean, you know, I can carry John Cena to the match, I think so, yeah.
I don't really get where John Cena is, where they're going with this whole Jericho is cheap thing.
I'm not sure either.
I don't really get that. I mean,
he comes out in the t-shirt and the spinning belt.
Yeah. I mean,
that's
maybe
the worst t-shirt ever, by the way.
I know. He's always
that looks like something like a grandmother would wear or something like that.
It used to be different when he came out with the throwbacks on, because they're not cheap. In fact, myself, I just bought a Steve Grogan throwback doing the Patriots jersey.
From Neely Sportswear.
Neely Sportswear and stuff, which you can find on eBay. eBay selling Neely. Or you can check out InYourHeadOnline.com. There's a link there to his site.
Yep.
Yeah.
Probably a big banner, too.
But now he looks pretty much, he's always just wearing, like, the WWE, like, hats or t-shirts. To me, he's more of the cheap one.
Mm-hmm.
Like, hey, I'm wearing all this free stuff.
He's establishment. Jericho's out there in jeans and, you know, rock and roll t-shirts.
Yeah, he's got, like, the club shirts on.
I slept in the merchandise van last night.
He's got the nice shades going.
He needs to do something about the hair, but that takes time.
Yeah. You shouldn't have cut it. Oh, it looks all right to me.
No.
I'm guessing, Incher,
yes,
I know
sir.
You're not a fan of the hair, but do you really think Jericho would look good with short hair? He's got to keep it fairly long, don't you think?
I don't know. I mean, he got a pretty big melon on top of that neck. I think if he had short hair, he probably would look a little funny.
Yeah, I think he's the big rock star. He's got to keep it fairly long.
Yeah, I don't think it'd suit him very
well. Not everyone's going to have short hair.
Plus, he always, you know, he's always had it, you know, pretty decently groomed.
Right.
Christian, when he was, like, towards the end, you could really tell his hair was getting thin or something, you know?
Yeah.
And he looked pretty funny.
Strangler always used to call him the world's ugliest pretty boy. I always liked that.
I think it looks better on Christian with his hair short.
Yeah. I agree with that.
Yeah.
I think I might have been the only person who liked his shiny green singlet.
I liked it. That was pretty good stuff. I was kind of surprised they had him lose already on SmackDown to Batista.
Mm-hmm.
They've had him lose twice now in both his title matches. Without even getting like a... Well, he was on the pay-per-view in the three-way, but he hasn't got even one pay-per-view singles main event. I think they could have went with that before having him lose to Batista already on SmackDown.
Well, you know. Christian should be the WWE champion right now. Well, the world heavyweight champion, that's my view.
You know, so few new main events. Although, you know, they have some new ones now since they switched champions.
Mm-hmm.
Something like that, I think, should be held off for the pay-per-view.
absolutely.
We're also going to burn through these matches quick. You know, we'll probably end up seeing Batista versus JBL probably three times, I think. It's kind of like the ongoing theme is these guys have a match and they have the rematch, and then maybe like a gimmick match. This is like the blow-off match.
Mm-hmm. And the barbed wire cage match.
Right. So it's kind of an old... that's pretty much what they used to do back in the day.
Yeah, but they used to do it with a little bit more enthusiasm. Mm-hmm.
What are you saying, Intra?
We haven't talked about this yet, but has anybody watched NWA, well, just TNA, on the web yet?
Yep.
Yeah, it's good stuff.
I've watched all of them.
I watched the first one last night.
Mm-hmm.
See, when we first was trying to download, it was pretty hard, but they've got it worked out now. And
they just
I don't know about dial-up, maybe, but anybody with high-speed internet, you know, TV mm-hmm. mode or whatever, you'll be able to watch it pretty easily.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. One thing that I do want to say is I really think this whole Raven Abyss thing is not exactly clicking well.
No.
I mean, the title feud seems to be constantly and consistently mid-card.
Well, I think it's because they really didn't build up Raven much before he won the title.
Yeah.
I think they should have built him up for a month before having him finally win the title.
Maybe, but, you know, they really could put him out there with some fanfare and get people behind him. But at this point, you know, he's going out with there with Abyss, you know, in the mid-card spot, slightly upper mid-card, but still mid-card, you know, and Jeff Jarrett promos are still the main event.
Mm-hmm.
Which really is not what you want to do. This
no, it's
kind of
like
exactly what Triple H.
Exactly, yeah.
Mm-hmm. When he killed Randy Orton's title run.
I think No Surrender is looking like a good pay-per-view, though, Sunday.
I'm a big fan of dog collar matches, personally.
I think our Raven... I'm a big fan of Abyss. I think he usually has good matches.
Oh, yeah.
Abyss is really underrated as a worker.
Mm-hmm.
I'm looking forward to that match. And,
we all know what Inter thought of his cage match with AJ Styles.
That was good stuff.
Has somebody decrypted all that for you guys? My big rant.
Jumping off top of the cage. On some cage.
Hmm.
Pretty good stuff.
Sometimes I speak just like a type on the message board. I'm just all out there.
I want everybody to know, it's your last chance to send in an entry for our contest.
Mm-hmm.
Starting next week, we're going to put a poll up to see who wins the DVD.
Yes, we will.
And everyone who entered, they got an autographed photo of us
mm-hmm.
Sent via email. So anyone who entered, they didn't get that, just contact me and I'll make sure you get it.
I signed mine with pretty pink stars.
And if anyone, if they can't, you know, if they don't know how to record audio,
mm-hmm.
just send me an email, and we'll have you on the show live.
Yeah.
Live to VCR.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Anything else going down in wrestling you guys want to talk about?
I feel there's something I should mention, but it's just escaped me.
Anything going down in Raw, SmackDown?
I don't know.
Wrestling with John, any big rumors?
We've got Mohammed Hassan, who recorded a spot for SmackDown on, I think it was Monday. They're doing
right,
it Tuesday,
right.
Don't they?
I think that was just last week. I don't think that's an every week thing. I think this week was taped on Tuesday.
Really? I mean, they got rid of the fist.
Maybe there is. I don't know.
Okay. Well, either way, they recorded... Inch was giving away in the background. He wanted rid of the fist long ago.
He must have got mad and left or something.
Inch was not a fan of the fist. He's had bad experiences in the past.
I love big guys, I think. Now,
you're
Muhammad
cheap,
dude. Hassan.
Always giving me these jokes.
Cheap over there and your pile of cheap stuff.
Alright, what were you saying, Barb?
Yeah. Muhammad Hassan. Yeah. Why do you always interrupt me, Isha?
You mad? You want to make me mad?
Mohammed Hassan recorded a spot on the SmackDown taping. Then UPN sent, I think, either a letter or a press release or a high-profile phone call to the WWE saying that they did not want Mohammed Hassan on this week's SmackDown.
Yeah, I saw that.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know about this. I mean, they have evil Arabs. Muslims and movies. I don't understand why wrestling is always considered like a different thing.
Mm-hmm.
That they're not allowed to do things that other forms of entertainment do.
Yeah. So instead of putting it on the show, yeah, I sent you the promo. Instead of putting it on the show, they put it on WWE.com for all to peruse.
Now, do they just not want that promo on, or do they not want Hassan on at all anymore?
I understand it. They did not want Mohammed Hassan on this week to let it cool down.
Oh, okay. I think this will probably help his heel heat.
Mm-hmm. Could.
I personally wouldn't want to play this character. But I do think it's a good character on TV.
I could really see you in this character. you'd be excellent for this role.
So,
towel on underneath the hat.
Always fake spitting.
Mark Magnus is plays Hassan. He's actually Italian American.
Yeah.
So.
Mm-hmm. Sean Davari.
Right. He actually is, you know, Arab American.
Mm-hmm. Named after the Iron Sheik.
You think he'd speak some English, you know?
He does sometimes. Oh. It's not the same when he speaks English. He doesn't have an accent at all.
He
kind of talks, you know, just like an American guy. It loses a lot of its effect.
No.
I think the guy's tremendous, though. I think Davari's tremendous.
He's not hearing me at this point.
Who? Davari?
You.
I'm always hearing.
Of course, Castro Davari, named after the Iron Sheik.
Right.
Who is Castro Bizarri.
Right.
For those of you who don't know.
I just want you
to... I was privileged enough to have heard his answer machine message.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
I just want you two to finally have it out. Just, like, duke it out with each other.
We've got to keep the tension going. It helps.
Bare knuckle boxing.
I kind of like the jealousy from Barb's end.
I'm not jealous, my friend.
It kind of just helps the show, I think. The tense rivalry. You know, mm-hmm. I kind of see him as just, you know, I see him as part of the show, my friend. You know, he just has this deep, like, rooted jealousy of me. You know, but,
hitting back.
You know, I'm used to that by now.
You want to take that? Hitting back.
You sweat a lot. I've seen the photo proof.
Well, what kind of photos have you seen of it?
What photos I share with Barbie is our personal law.
Oh, my God. Is this like a lover's pad or something?
Needless to say,
finally,
I'm prepared the same way.
A gay joke not about me.
Oh, honey, you're a gay joke.
So, I think tomorrow we'll be having a Lance Hoyt.
Hoyt.
This will probably be a double interview week. Double show. And then next week we've got Paul Bearer.
Mm-hmm.
And then the week after that, we're going to have Ed Ferrara.
Mm-hmm.
And somewhere along the lines, we may have another guest. Someone's recently fired, but I won't say on the show. Just check our message board and check our website, inyourheadonline.com.
As we know something confirmed, we have confirmed.
Right. But this person got back to me today. I'm just going to call him back, and I will set it up.
I will say this. If he finds out who I've been screwing for the past several months, he won't come on the show.
Oh, man.
Oh, my God.
Putting that out there.
Kayfabe that, brother.
Kayfabe it good.
I had read online, it was a rumor that Raven wasn't going to be at the pay-per-view.
Mm-hmm.
I think there's nothing to this rumor.
You read that way.
I don't want to say the website. It's a big website.
Name and shade, my friend.
I think they kind of misinterpreted something because it ended up that NWA pulled Kim and I believe the tag champions off like indie shows. Because the indie shows were going to be... no, it wasn't even the Naturals. Because they were going to be taped for pay-per-view. And the NWA contract... Well, they are the tag champs, but it was another tag team there. I can't think of the name right now. But no, it was a Three Live Crew.
The Smoking Guns?
Because apparently a couple shows they were going to be on were going to be taped and put on pay-per-view. And the NWA contracts, right, it's exclusive to pay-per-view. And they can do indie shows. They just can't do other pay-per-views.
And they can go on shows with their regional TV deals.
Right, exactly.
I don't think they can do network TV deals.
I don't know if anybody else really has. Yeah, they can't do the pay-per-view for sure. I'm not really sure if anyone else has network TV besides WWE.
I never know.
Yeah. Yeah, but they might want to put that in there just in case, you know, something to bring up. So, check inyourheadonline.com.
www.inyourheadonline.com.
For all the information. And all the old shows. And, come and post on our forums. You can leave your questions there for our upcoming guests, and we'll be sure to read them.
I think we should be the first to openly welcome on a show, WrestleTalk Radio.
Yep, they're on the message board.
Yeah, they've got their own board on AudioWrestling.com's forum these days.
And give a shout-out to Wrestling News Live.
Mm-hmm.
Ray and JSK played our ad on their show. And did an interview with Monty Brown. And our friends at Get in the Ring. Because the book just came out.
Oh, yeah.
And we actually got a copy of it.
I'm up to, I just finished the chapter with why Stone Cold hates Jeff Jarrett. It's an excellent book so far. I've been enjoying it.
I've looked at the cover, and I've looked at the table of contents, and I've lifted the book. I took it out of the box it came in.
Are there any dedications?
Looks pretty good. I was sad to see there's no dedication to me, but they did write this book approximately 2 or 3 years ago, I think.
Yeah.
And so, you know, they probably didn't know who I was at the time. I assume it came out now.
They're all they see.
Right. I'd probably be on the cover.
Mm-hmm.
Hmm.
Makes sense.
Right. Try to get the Phantom on one of these days. Maybe he'll come on and talk about the book a little bit.
Maybe.
Is there a forward?
You're asking too many questions. You have to ask Inch Man.
Sure? Is there a forward?
Is there a forward by anybody in the book?
No, I think they just have like a...
I will say another thing about the book, that it wasn't ghostwritten by anyone.
Nope.
Which is always, that's pretty impressive.
There were rumors that it was ghostwritten by Tennessee Lee.
Yeah.
Hmm.
We're not going to say who started those rumors.
It's a very good speller.
It's by Sir Adam Feinberg and Adam the Phantom Noodleman.
The Masked Noodleman.
I say Noodleman, you say Noodleman.
Well, last week you said Noodleman, I said Noodleman.
I always say Noodleman.
But
you said Noodleman when you had him on the show.
No.
They're having it out. Listen to him.
Go back and listen to the archives at InYourHeadOnline.com. Our Lady Confo talk show, where we had the Phantom on.
Mm-hmm.
And I say Noodleman. This is Noodleman.
Yeah.
I'm tight with his mom. You go way back.
It's unlike any other.
Like those crazy 80s.
It's not your typical wrestling book. It's not just, the guy's history.
No. It's unlike any other wrestling book you've ever read. It's really interesting how they wrote it and everything. It's just like...
Right. And there's
they'll
pictures,
argue with each other
people
and
from West Virginia will like.
Do what?
There's pictures.
Oh, yeah.
It's not just, all words, which some, so people aren't a fan of words, so you can buy it and look at the pictures.
Shane Douglas is on the cover. What more do you need?
Exactly.
I'm the biggest fan.
All right, don't plug in this damn book. Go buy the book. Jesus Christ.
I've really enjoyed it. You ought to read it instead of just picking it up and looking at it.
I'm a fan of picking books up and looking at it. Maybe we'll have, we're going to do a book on tape. We'll have Inter reading the book. We'll sell it online.
Yeah.
Won't give the Phantom any of the profits.
Nah, the hell.
Maybe we'll buy Sir Adam this t-shirt.
We need some of that good, we need some of that get in the ring cash.
Oh, yeah.
You're in your head.
In your head. Get in the ring is a cash cow, and we got the magic beans, baby.
All right. Well, I think this post show has gone on long enough.
Yeah. We've
talked about hardly anything.
Let's shoot it like a smoking gun.
Go to the website, inyourheadonline.com. Go to nwalegends.com. Go see Ox Baker.
Oh, yeah.
Saturday, Friday, and Sunday. I know that was out of order.
Polaroid with it.
August 19th, the 20th, 21st. Charlotte, mm-hmm. North Carolina. Hey, if anybody goes and sees him, tell him personally that they saw or they listened to him on our show In Your Head.
And that's why they came.
And bring him a pumpkin pie, would you?
And bring him a pumpkin pie and no peanut butter cookies. He's had enough of cookies.
Yeah.
I hear he enjoys elephants.
And bring him a stuffed elephant and say it's from Barbie.
Yeah. You know, if masturbation was illegal, man, I'd be going down with the death sentence.
I think I'm cutting that part. Do you feel that? Oh, shit. Get up, come on, get down with the sickness. Get up, come on, get down with the sickness. Get up, come on, get down with the sickness. Open up your head and let it flow into me. Get up, come on, get down with the sickness. Your mother, get up. Come on, get down with the sickness. You fucker, get up. Come on, get down with the sickness. Madness is the gift that has been given to me. I can see inside you the sickness is rising. It seems that all that was good has died. Oh no, the world is a scary place. Now that you've woken up the demon in me.
Bobby, will you give it to me?
Two, three, four. Get up, come on, get down with the sickness. You mother, get up, come on, get down with the sickness. You fucker, get up, come on, get down with the sickness. Open up your hate and let it flow into me. Why can't you just fuck up and die?
The Machine,
Jimmy Kimmel, Adam Carolla. Welcome back to
the
Last
Ladies
Call.
Ladies go nuts for this Richard Cheese.
Yeah.
Yeah.